listener to the show, The Green Front, you know that that is a particular focus of ours. My co-host, V.R. Tucker, will be joining us at the bottom of the hour, but I am very excited about our first segment because it's all about my favorite topic, and that is what is the media saying or not about our planetary crisis, the pickle that we're in, and, of course, there are many perils from our well, what we've been doing to our climate, to our planet, we Americans, we human beings, and we've talked about all those, not only the challenges, but the solutions. But we believe, I believe, and have for a long time, that part of the missing piece of the puzzle is lack of regular coverage. We're talking about a dedicated show, or segment at least, on mainstream platforms, talking radio, television, broadcasting, my background. And that's exactly what this new report is all about, and I'm very pleased to have Tyson Miller joining me on the program. He is the director of the Project for Improved Environmental Coverage, and they just came out last week with their new rankings. It's the first time that they've actually ranked news outlets, the mainstream outlets, in terms of their coverage, and so very pleased to welcome to the program Tyson Miller.
Thank you, Betsy. Happy to be on.
Yeah, very important subject matter. First, give us a little bit of background, if you would. How was the Project for Improved Environmental Coverage, how did it come about? Was it your vision personally? Did somebody else see a need to really focus on the lack of environmental coverage?
Yeah, well, I mean, and actually, in terms of the actual project itself, it was born out of a different project called Dream of a Nation, which is kind of a public awareness initiative on a range of topics, but one of the issue areas is media. And so we were tracking CNN headlines at the time, and just for a month, we're just doing some spot tracking and saw, you know, I think the ratio of, you know, entertainment celebrity headlines was to environmental ones was 14 to 1. And it was kind of frustrating, and certainly there are some great orgs that are out there trying to advance the cause, Society of Environmental Journalists and others, but we didn't see really a group dedicated to this singular topic and kind of looking at employing different strategies from rankings to traditional advocacy. So we're excited to be involved in it.
Very excited that you're involved. I should give you a more formal introduction here. Your bio says you're a social entrepreneur and leader in the environmental movement, been developing new organizations and initiatives for nearly 20 years, and you have, I know, edited this fabulous book, Dream of a Nation, which we are going to talk about. Also, I understand you did an award-winning documentary on environmental education and founded or co-founded five organizations in all, and one of the ones that you're associated with is C. Tell us about C briefly.
Oh, well, C Innovation, we have three different active programs right now. Green Press Initiative, which is trying to reduce the environmental and social impacts of the pulp and paper industry on a global scale. Been at that for about a decade, actually over a decade. Dream of a Nation, which is pretty new, about 4 or 5 years, and we're, yeah, you mentioned the book, but there's a web platform at dreamofanation.org, and we're, you know, it's all open source materials for educators and others. And then the Environmental Coverage Project, which is about a couple years old or so. So yeah, staying busy and happy to be affiliated with these different programs.
Okay, so let's talk, drill down, if you will, about the Project for Improved Environmental Coverage. Clearly, it's needed, and you just completed a very ambitious survey, or at least compiling statistics, I believe that the Pew Center put together, perhaps along with your organization, and really documenting the lack of coverage. And I believe it's something like 1% of all mainstream coverage is, you know, made up of environmental content. Is that correct?
Yeah, the Pew Research Center's Project for Excellence in Journalism, they track the field, or they have been tracking the field, and they provided us with source data on over 40 different news organizations, majority of those nationally focused, but some local ones, and we, you know, asked for it for over a 17-month period, and we analyzed it and put it into this report, and yeah, I was pretty surprised by the findings. I was definitely surprised to see that entertainment headlines get three times more, entertainment stories get three times more headlines than environmental ones. Which is troubling. You know, I Fox News, you know, gets devotes more coverage to the environment than CNN or any of the networks. Now, Fox has been documented for misleading, providing misleading content to its viewers, but nonetheless, it's just interesting to see. Or even that NPR and PBS actually prioritize entertainment headlines consistently more than environmental ones. There's a range of things that really caught our attention.
I think Media Matters has been looking at this, too, on and off, and I think they were the ones that saw that Donald Trump was covered or mentioned more often than ocean acidity over the course of a time period. I mean, just shows you, you know, how ridiculous things are.
Yeah, they grabbed that from a different, the beginning of our report, we looked at Vanderbilt University's television news archives, and yeah, Donald Trump, from that same time period, January through May 31st, there was 111 stories, and it was actually compared to fracking. Fracking had six, amongst about five different major networks. But yeah, that does illustrate the problem, and I think Media Matters, they've done some interesting stuff in the past, like the Kardashians. Over an similar time period were mentioned 2,100 times, whereas ocean acidification was only mentioned 45 times in the news. So
that was it. Yeah. And I've joked that maybe if we call it Kim Kardashian's climate change, it'll get more attention. And I guess The Onion did a piece saying a few months ago, only if actress Julia Roberts gets killed somehow by a globally warmed infused storm or weather disaster would people pay attention. I mean, funny and not so funny.
Well, I had recently had about an hour-long conversation with an editor from a major network, and I just shared the data. I said, here's where you all are. You probably don't look at where you stand, how it relates to crime or entertainment coverage, and here's how you rank compared to Fox and others. And this person said, hey, this has completely reset my thinking, and we really want to look at what we can do to do better. So as much as, I think that, if it bleeds, it leads, or if it's entertainment-focused, it garners the attention, that model is really frustrating. I do feel as though hopefully these news executives, understand the need to innovate and will start.
I'd like to hear your thoughts on, some of the reasons behind this, really abysmal coverage up until now. I have some thoughts. A couple of my theories are, one, just the overall, cultural marginalization of environmental issues. It's not just the media, it's government, it's business, it's the public, just not really focusing on these issues. I think, traditionally, if you're green, eco, anything is seen as somehow marginal or fringe or, for the Birkenstock crowd only, when it's always struck me as ridiculous that, it's also been politicized, and polarized, and that it's not treated as a very practical and important and universal, set of issues that it really is. I think that's one. And there's also just, I think it's a bias on the part of news programmers, towards that. Maybe it just infects their individual thinking a little bit, that tendency. And also just oversight. I think it just has not really been seen as a category in and of itself, or, it's just for those who are interested in it, and, the segmentization or the siloization, if you will, of green news.
Hmm. Yeah,
as a special interest, not as a universal interest.
Yeah. Well, in terms of the attitudinal, do citizens care about this issue? We commissioned a poll through Opinion Research Corporation, April 2012, and we were surprised by it. We thought it would be more like, hey, 50% of people care, want better environmental coverage. But it was nearly 80% of Americans, 1,000 Americans surveyed, said we want improved environmental coverage in the news. Interestingly, amongst minorities, it was as high as 88%. It actually increased as your college education or your education level dropped. You had a higher concern for the environment in terms of, what the data showed. That's all up online. But so I actually feel that citizens really do get that, hey, this is our home. It's our kids' future. We need to know more about it. We need, it affects our policies, et cetera. So I'm going to push back there. In terms of your other piece, though, marginalization or thereabouts in terms of, environmental coverage being too siloed. Yeah, I think potentially. I look at the environment as an integrating context. The environment, in essence, where do you draw the lines and say that's the environment and that isn't? Because it's connected to the economy, jobs, security, human health, indigenous rights, cultural issues, justice,
exactly.
You name it. And so I think that the real challenge is, how do you, really tie it to these other issue areas that then people see, where the integration lies. And I think, how do you, instead of just focusing on the problem or what's the most sensationalized aspect of the story, what are the solutions? What are the scalable models that we can replicate? Just a couple thoughts.
And I think the other part of it is just this misperception or assumption, which I think is wrong, that it's just not all that interesting or it doesn't change that much or there isn't, I've heard, anchors on MSNBC, otherwise, Chris Hayes, for instance, who does Up with Chris Hayes on the weekend mornings, and he's actually done better, I think, than any other program host to cover climate change. But he had David Roberts of Grist on about 6 months ago and was saying, how do you make climate change interesting, you know, day in, day out? And David said, oh, well, it is. And I said, exactly. Like, there's some of us who live and breathe this stuff who, you know, really find it fascinating because it isn't just one category, the environment. It is connected to, you know, there's a scientific component, political, economic, security, big health component. And when you make all those connections and you see that it's all interrelated, I think those of us who do that, you know, our passion, our interest could really transfer to listeners. And so I start yelling at my TV around then and saying, you know, hire those of us who do find it interesting and never have any trouble finding interesting stories and have for years, because it really, you know, I think you have to make it interesting. And it is. I mean, we're talking about, you know, the future of life on the planet as we've known it.
Yeah, I think there is a values piece to this. I think how you know, there's this interesting place in which the media field and industry is shifting, and folks are being, you know, furloughed or fired, or, you know, they have to switch their topic areas, like what just happened with the New York Times and their environment desk.
I want to know what you think about that. If you see it as a setback, or perhaps believe that they're saying what you just mentioned, it's going to better integrate environment in these other areas.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll have to see, and we'll have to watch, and we'll have to sort of, you know, track it. But, you know, I the other piece to this, though, is, you know, as much as it would be wonderful for these varying news organizations that do have somewhat deep pockets to look at, you know, having more capacity when it comes to environmental coverage, even if it's, you know, not someone where it's their primary thing, maybe it's half of what they do. I think that the field as a whole needs more capacity. But it will be interesting to see, you know, okay, are there content sharing models that can work? You know, similar to the way in which you have syndication work for radio or what have you, you know, can that work for online or print stories where you have some of the independents and others who are digging in, being able to, you know, have that content shared, be compensated for it, attributed for the content they develop, but, you know, someone else picks it up and displays it. I in the report, we talk about that. We say, hey, there's more resources now than there ever have been for improving environmental coverage in terms of news wires and academic institutions and you know, all sorts of journalism training associations and orgs. So, you know, I don't think there's any excuses. I really don't.
I couldn't agree more, Tyson. And on climate progress, Joseph Rome's great climate blog just today, there's an article called Sounds of Silence. Weekly science sections and newspapers dropped from 95 in 1989 to 19 in 2012. And these statistics coming from the Columbia Journalism Review, just I know an organization you've worked with, just to give you a few examples, there were 95 weekly science sections in papers back in 89, 34 weekly science sections in newspapers in 2005, and 19 again last year. So that's a sign of the times. It is, you know, again, paradoxical, ironic, given the growing urgency and growing awareness. Do you feel cautiously optimistic, Tyson, that given the, you know, epic weather events we saw in 2012 from the, you know, droughts, the heat wave, the tornadoes where they're not supposed to be, flooding where it's not supposed to be, and then, of course, all capped off by Hurricane Superstorm Sandy, that people are really connecting the dots. The surveys show that something like 4 out of 5 Americans now believe climate change is happening.
Yeah, I think it's going to keep increasing. Just because it's, I mean, most people, I think a lot of people are reasonable. You know, you can only keep your head buried in the sand or listen to the rhetoric of folks who are talking nonsense for so long. And I think, you know, most folks have critical minds and can think. And so, yeah, I think, and even if you follow the precautionary principle, what's wrong if we take action? There's nothing, you know, we only move in a positive direction. I mean, if you look at it from even a jobs or economic perspective, you had green jobs, growing about 9-10% faster than other jobs from 98 to 2007, you know, before the economic crisis hit. And so I think that you know, there's no reason why we can't really reorientate around better understanding the crises we face, and what that leads to is better policies, better, more priorities, better resources, etc. I mean, it can only move in the right direction the more we get informed and you know, the more we act upon what we learn.
In your report, you took a closer look at CNN, and tell us what you found there, and then I want to give you a hot-off-the-press news release that just came across right before we went on the air about some plans to target CNN demanding better climate coverage.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a couple different stats on CNN. Specifically, you know, we were looking at their comparisons versus, I mentioned Fox. So Fox had about 1.5% of their stories were environmental headlines. PBS was 1.43, and then CNN was 0.36. So, you know, nearly three times below the national average of 1%, which is pretty low to begin with. That's where CNN was in terms of prioritizing environmental stories. We also did a kind of a snapshot analysis of tracking their headlines over a one-month period as opposed to the 17-month time period. And it's pretty startling. I mean, 17 environmental stories over that month compared to trivial stories like, you know, Flamingo gets caught at airport. There were 71 of those. And if you combine sports and entertainment, it was 217. So, you know, more than 10 times the coverage devoted to sports and entertainment than environment. And that's, you know, CNN can easily just put some headline links. Oh, this is CNN.com, by the way, sorry. They can easily, you know, I'm not saying they need to do away with all their crime and trivial and, you know, entertainment reporting, but they can put a few environmental links up there. It doesn't have to be such a huge discrepancy.
It doesn't use up a lot of paper either.
No.
Online.
Right.
There was a documentary a few months back, I can't remember the name of it now, but it was about climate change, and CNN got, I mean, while it was admirable, it got some criticism because they were talking about melting glaciers, and they did mention climate change, and I have not seen the piece yet, but apparently they did not make one mention of fossil fuels as a primary cause of warming and melting ice, and I think that's another reason that they're being targeted. And the good folks at Media Matters are now starting a campaign, which I want to be one of the first to talk about because we just got it again right before we started the program. They're focusing on making CNN do four things. They're asking for a dedicated reporter to cover environmental issues. Great idea. Reporting on extreme weather in the context of man-made climate change, also something that Forecast the Facts is doing, trying to target meteorologists to get them to connect the dots. They're saying turn to experts, not misinformers, like Fox tends to do. The deniers and the obfuscators, they're the ones that populate Fox's coverage of climate change most often. And also, last but not least, to hold politicians accountable. So looks like CNN is on the hot seat, so to speak.
As well they should be. You know, they've built this really credible brand over the years, and I think there's a way in which it's kind of been falling and because of some of the things that you've mentioned, and I think Media Matters is asking, you know, is right on. You know, and the CNN's founder, you know, Ted Turner, he's got a vision for this. Here's a quote from him. "We must go through a natural revolution if we are to survive on Earth. We need to change people's perceptions. If there's no environment, there's no human race, we are in a state of global denial." I mean, that's the guy who founded CNN. You know, I think they can follow in his footsteps.
Exactly. And he said in 2011 that climate change is probably the most serious problem that humanity's ever faced, adding that what we need to do is increase the amount of debate to motivate people to take action. It's sort of like Al Gore, you know, doing a lot of interviews now about his new book, The Future, and of course getting questions about his sale of Current TV to Al Jazeera. And
right.
Mr. Gore, the guy who lit the fire under so many of us with An Inconvenient Truth and his great work on raising awareness about climate change, but he neglected to have any dedicated shows on our environmental crises or climate change during the 2 years that, you know, they were doing progressive news on
right.
his network. So, and when he talks about how Al Jazeera, you know, does better climate coverage than any other mainstream media news outlet, I can't help but again yell at my TV and say, but what did you do? You know, you of all people owning a network were in a position to show the world that this kind of coverage, A, is interesting, it's important, and, you know, there's so many experts to interview. That's, you know, after 15 years of talking about solutions across the green spectrum, you know, on so many issues from, you know, rainforest to oceans to food and what's at stake, transportation system, green building, you know, just climate change in so many aspects. There's no lack of coverage. And given, you know, that there's so many shows on politics, so much focused on celebrities and sports and business and finance, you know, it's repetitive, really. Some of the cable networks that focus on politics, you know, in Current TV also had, you know, one show after another, different hosts, but really the same subjects, you know, being discussed over and over again, it's like, well, if they're looking for new material that no one else is really, you know, covering, that truly has a potential demographic, you know, potential audience of everyone who eats, breathes, or drinks, you think, you know, have, you know, seen the green light.
I'm with you, and I you know, given all your background and the focus on solutions, I hope that someone finds you. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, beyond the entertainment infatuation, you know, there's, I mean, I think we do need to be informed about crime, especially if it's happening on the local level. But, you know, our analysis of the national networks, and this is over 17 months, so it's not just, you know, looking at a short time period. But, I mean, you have crime to environment ratios for a lot that are over 10, they get to 20, you know, 50 plus, you know, for every 50 crime stories, there's one environment story. You know, I think that we don't want to depress people. We want to empower people. And, you know, a lot of these are nationally focused news organizations, you know, highlighting crime stories in local areas. And I think that that also is something, aside from the entertainment, over coverage of entertainment related issues, I think we should really look at the crime coverage that news organizations devote to.
How about the crime of the century, ignoring this major unfolding disaster, both in the you know, election, the debate, no questions asked, but hopefully things are changing. And, of course, you and I and so many other good folks are doing a lot more than hoping. We're pushing louder and louder for, you know, the right thing to be done, which is let's treat this issue, you know, in the same scope that it actually, you know, is threatening us, you know, and that's major regular. It's sort of like the gun control issue that's on the radar now. And Piers Morgan, you know, bless him, on CNN every night almost, you know, is doing a show and town halls on, you know, the issue of, you know, whether to, you know, clamp down on gun laws. And we need the same awakening with the climate issue to really, as Obama says, make me do it, you know, get the people behind this movement.
Yeah, and the news media, I mean, the editors, the choices that are made by editors every day, these are the gatekeepers. And I've heard folks say, you know, you have to, within their own industry, you have to show us that there's a moral imperative, that we're on the hook, and you have to rank us and critique us. And I think that, you know, a lot of these gatekeepers, I think they just need to keep hearing that, you know, there's a real interest and there's a real demand, and, you know, hopefully they'll shift. And,
right,
you know,
and And it is a catch-22, isn't it? You know, when people say, well, you know, if it's such a big issue, how come I'm not hearing my president talk about it, or my congressperson, or, you know, the network news? And that is part of the problem. People don't really see it reflected, you know, in leadership across the board, political, media, government, business, corporate, you know, then they think they don't have to worry about it. And that's so not the case.
Right.
If people really knew what was at stake, especially if nothing else from the extreme weather that has absolutely hit the United States and will continue to, most likely, you know, again, worsened by climate change, I think more people would be, you know, concerned and seeing it as a patriotic duty to be concerned about our fellow Americans and, you know, whether we care, W-E-A-T-H-E-R, we determine what we do next.
I think part of it is how do we connect it to our lives? Which I know some editors are struggling with. How do you make it real, and how does the average person connect it to their lives? And that's not a hard task. I mean, you start speaking in terms that people get, which is whether it's food security or jobs or economic growth potential. I mean, the environment is not an externality, and it has been for so long. But if you were to really look at the ecosystem services that the environment provides and the trillions that it adds up to, we'd start valuing our environment a bit more. But I think we're at a turning point. I really feel, as much as we're kind of talking a lot about what frustrates us on this call, I think that hopefully a couple three years from now, we'll be able to see measurable market changes in the media landscape, in the news media, at least I hope.
In addition to hearing about the fiscal cliff, we'll hear about the climate cliff and the ecological debt that we're passing along to our children and beyond if we don't wake up and smell the carbon. Thank you so much, Tyson Miller, for your insight, for your fabulous work. We didn't get to talk about Dream of a Nation, a fabulous book and project in and of itself, so I'm going to have you on again soon to do that.
Okay.
There's just so much to talk about in terms of environmental coverage in mainstream media, obviously an issue close to both of our green hearts. Thanks again.
Yeah. Thank
we'll be
you.
Back in just a moment to talk to another topical writer, a columnist, J.J. Goldberg, just wrote a column about climate change and what's needed. We'll be right back with that.